Good morning, and welcome to Ask the Pro, a paid commercial program. The opinions expressed are those of the participating clients and not necessarily those of the management and staff of WLVL. Ask the Pro is an informational-based program designed to advertise the product and or service of the client and to introduce them to the WLVL listening audience. Your questions and comments are welcome throughout the show. If you'd like to talk to today's pro, just call 433-1433. That's 433-1433.
Yes, good morning, everybody. I'm Ron Raitz, the host of this particular Ask the Pro program. And, you know, I think by the number of phone calls we get and by the information we dispense, I think, Bill, this is one of our most popular. Bill Hiltz Jr. is with me this morning.
Good morning, Ron.
Talk about the great outdoors.
Absolutely. It is great. Especially around here.
It's cold today. It'll be warm over the weekend. What's this doing to the wildlife out there? Anything different, or are they just grinning and bearing it?
Well, we've had a mild winter overall. You know, I was watching the news this morning, and we've had a lot less snow, a lot less cold temperatures, and I think the animals that live outdoors are a little bit relieved. You know, they don't expend as much energy, and I know that some of the concerns in the Great Lakes, such as the alewife population in Lake Ontario, you know, the more mild temperatures should be a positive sign for this year, and hopefully we'll have a good hatch of alewives. That alewives are the bait fish that the salmon and trout feed on, and we could use a couple good year classes of alewives. So, you know, overall, I think it's pretty good for the fish and wildlife that live outdoors.
Yeah, well, that's the way God made them, and they've been doing it for years and years and years. And they know where to hunker in when it gets real cold. And you can tell when you go outside on a day where it's in the zero or teen range, you don't see as many, but they poke their heads out and say, well, it's time to go back. And hibernation, I don't know if it affects. I know it doesn't affect the skunks. They have been out lately, like almost every night. They're out here at the station and other places. And so, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it does have a little bit of an impact on them. Speaking of skunks, I got one living under my shed, so you know I need to tiptoe a little bit when I'm walking around there cleaning things up, and you know, you're right, they're already active.
I came home last night and picked up my daughter at work, and all of a sudden we get near my house and I go, "Do you smell that?" And she goes, "Yes, I do," you know, and then all night long, and then this morning it was still a lingering presence. But that's the outdoors, and we're actually living in their habitat, not the other way around.
Well, that's I think about that every time I drive around Western New York area and I see a new development going up. I was amazed over off the 990. Some of those new developments that are going up that previously were woods around the pond. And, you know, that's more habitat loss for the deer, and it's just going to force them into smaller and smaller areas. And then you start having the problems, the nuisance complaints, you know, the deer eating the expensive shrubs around their homes. But, you know, hey, the deer have been there for a long time, and now you're going to push them right out. So, you know, problems that you need to contend with when you start expanding and taking away some of their habitat.
Saw something interesting on one of the channels where they were talking about feral hogs in Hawaii and Texas and down in Florida. They were showing, they have just literally, they're coming right up to people's porches and houses, and at least deer, you know, deer are strong and can do something, but a feral hog, these things are vicious.
Yeah, you know, it's you're encountering problems like that all around the country as people start expanding into new areas and taking away that habitat. So you're going to have to learn to deal with it.
One of the things they were talking about, they went from place to place to place, and the different techniques they used to catch them and set up a thing. But I know that I believe, I could be wrong on this, but our friend Dale, he's done some hog. I'm using the wrong word.
He goes down to Texas.
The boars, yes. The wild boars. And that's one of the things they showed is that area down there where they chase them and trap them. And then they say, we're going to be able to feed a community with, you know, when they develop this. It's got to be same thing as a pig. Now, I remember as a young person that when animals kind of got lost, they would turn that way, but, you know, they'd live in the wild for a while. If a domesticated pig or other animals fell off a truck or broke out of a place, that they would go wild, but never seen anything like that around here.
Well, they do have some wild hogs that live here in New York State, but they're trying to eradicate them. They've seen some of the problems, some of the habitat destruction that they actually occur. And, you know, it's something that you need to be cognizant of. I don't believe you can even have these feral hogs or pigs in a game farm anymore. I think they're worried about them escaping and getting out into the wild. There are a few hot spots where these animals have been sighted, and they're trying to make sure that they aren't loose, free reign. So, you know, another one of those situations where, you know, be careful what you ask for, you just might get it. So, you know, they're a problem in other states, and they're trying to do away with them.
Well, looks like we have a call. And we'll see what's on their mind. As I say, good morning. You're on with us on Ask the Pro with Bill Hiltz, Jr. Good morning.
Good morning. This is Joe Yeager from the Greater Niagara Fishing Show calling in. How you guys doing?
Good. How are you, Joe?
Good, Bill. I just wanted to call in to thank your listeners for attending our show this past January. We had some pretty tough weather, but we had the biggest crowds ever we've had. And I think everybody went away really, really happy from the show.
I understand that DEC Open House and the State of Lake Erie and State of Lake Ontario presentations, it was all very well received as far as the public.
Yeah, the DEC Open House, for instance, Bill, drew over 300 people. And they had like 10 stations set up in there from different sections of the DEC. We received all kinds of very positive comments from the people that attended and took the time to sit down one-on-one and talk with these guys. And it was the first time it's happened, at least in a really long time. So very, very positive, very good for our attendees, good for the DEC. They got a lot of good information from people who fish our area. So a win-win for everybody on the DEC, and they're already making plans to come back next year.
Yeah, you know, I was there at the show, and I had several people come up to me and say they have attended every single one of those fishing expos up there in Niagara Falls, and this past year's was the best ever. They didn't know how we were going to be able to beat the previous expos, and that whole involvement with DEC was such a hit. They walked away with an entirely different attitude toward DEC. You know, they looked at them as the state agency that, you know, kind of ran roughshod over everybody just doing what they want to do. And when they left there, they thought that DEC, the personnel that are associated primarily with the fisheries at our show, they were so passionate about what they do, the fisheries biologists, the lake managers, that they had a new respect for them.
Yeah, we all heard the same thing, and yeah, very, very, very positive. Like I said, DEC made some major commitment. I believe they brought 28 people with them, and they're already planning to do it again next year, and it actually expanded from there. So the other thing that was very positive, we had over 200 kids attend, and we put some different education on for them this year. That was well attended, and we got some good information. And actually, we're going to expand our kids fishing program for next year. I think we handed out over 120 free rods and reels to the kids. So hopefully they're going to get out there and enjoy the fishery that we have in Western New York and come back next year looking for more education and knowledge so they can expand their fishing experiences.
And so any plans for 2021 as far as things that might be new? What are you trying to do here?
Yeah, we've been working on the show already. We look at a lot of the survey input and what we heard from people, and we'll tweak it like we always do. Next year, our dates are January 17th through the 19th, basically the same weekend in January. One of the big attractions we have already booked is we booked Roger Hinchcliffe, who is one of the most sought-after steelhead speakers in the country. And he's going to spend the 3 days with us, do probably about six different seminars for us. You can see him on Great Lakes Angler, the Steelhead, West Coast Steelhead. There's a lot of different areas where he's out. Steelhead Manifesto is one of his blogs. And we think he will be very, very popular with given all the steelhead guys we have in this area.
I am going to correct you. And okay. You said the 17th to the 19th, those were the dates for this year. And next year, I believe the dates are the 15th to the 17th of January.
Yep, you're correct, though. I guess I'm so used to saying 17 to 19, it just come out of my mouth before I thought. Yes, you're correct. 15th to 17th, basically the same weekend.
Yes, the third weekend. That is absolutely right. When you get guys like Roger Hinchcliffe coming in, I mean, that's really going to help pull some more people. And it helps substantiate the level of education that you offer here. And I should also mention that it's not just these super elite speakers that are coming in. The mention of the kids, for instance, you know, you're trying to teach beginners, you're teaching intermediate level, and with over 200 seminars this year, you know, people could pick and choose. Sometimes it was a hard decision. I heard people saying, geez, you know, I wanted to go see this seminar, but this seminar was going on, and so was this one, and I wanted to see all of them, you know, so you know, you're doing a good job with the education, and that's what it's all about. That's the niche that the Fishing Expo found, and I think people really appreciate it here, not just in Western New York, but they're coming from outside the area too.
Oh yeah, yeah, a lot of people from outside the area come, and I mean we're branded the Teach and Fishing Show. That's our niche, as you said, and it's not the same seminars or the same speakers every year, so. If you went this year and said, hey, I went to 10 or 11 seminars, probably pass next year, well, you're going to pass on some new ones that you didn't see because we change them up every year. Even if we keep the speakers the same, they'll speak on a different topic or so. And I think, Bill, we had over 100 different speakers this year. So lots of variety. We need to change. We keep changing it up so we keep to attract people. And quite frankly, we keep educating them. That's what we're looking to do.
Now, what about the Salmon School? Do you want to talk at all about that? You have any speakers that you might want to slip out there just to get people thinking about attending in 2021?
We've just about nailed our speakers down. Vince Gaglione is going to be one of them. Most of you guys, at least in Western New York, know Vince. He's going to be one of our lead ones. Russell Gehagen out of Michigan, who spoke before, who's been at all our shows, understands our fishery really well, will give us some Michigan. He's a tournament fisherman in Michigan. Give us some Michigan experiences that we'll be able to deploy on Lake Ontario. And Brian Garrett from East End, actually ELOTSA president, is going to be our third main speaker. And we're going to have a couple guest speakers like we have in the past. We haven't announced anything yet. We're just kind of putting the finishing touches on it. But, yeah, it's going to be another event that will sell out really quick with those guys.
Yeah, it keeps getting earlier and earlier every year. And I think it was November 15th when you sold out this past year for the 2020 event.
Yeah, probably was. And we don't actually open it up until the fishing season. The lake fishery's basically over, which is about the middle of September. So that's when we open it up. But you'll start seeing some advertising on it. And it gives people enough time to arrange their schedules and do all those kinds of things and get their buddies together and decide whether they're going to make the trip over here. I think we had 7 or 8 different states plus Canada represented this year. And we'll probably do the exact same next year. I mean, you can't, for what we charge for that seminar or for that school, there's no seminar, no school in the Great Lakes that's even close to that.
So if people wanted to keep up with what's happening, do you post on the website regularly? Can people follow that to see any new announcements?
Yeah, it'll be, you can follow the show website. NiagaraFishingExpo.com, and as soon as we actually officially announce, it'll be there, and then we'll continue to give updates and let everybody know when it's going to be available for booking. And it's also on Facebook and, you know, some of the other avenues, that Lake Ontario United. So we pretty much broadcast it all over. Lots of website, lots of one.org will have it. So yeah, if you're a salmon and trout guy, we cover all the different areas that one would take a look for. So everyone will know by September that everything that it's about.
And maybe a quick plug for LOTSA, as long as you mention LOTSA, Lake Ontario Trout and Salmon Association. You're the president, and you're going to be starting up your meetings in early April, and you're going to try something new for that first meeting, right?
That's correct. Our first meeting is actually, we're going to have a little flea market before it, and it's the first Thursday of the month, and so I don't give you the wrong date. Just give me a second.
I think it's like the second.
Yeah, April 2nd.
Yeah.
And so that'll be from 5:30 to 7, and then our meeting starts at 7. It's over at the Fire Hall on Ellicott Creek Road. You can see the information on lotsa1.org. Bill, the other thing that people ought to be aware of is that there looks like there is going to be a reallocation of salmon this year across Lake Ontario where they're stocked at. There will be a significant amount coming to the western end of the lake, Niagara and Orleans County. And as soon as that's finalized, we'll start getting the word out on that. But we're going to need additional pens. We're going to need pen helpers for pens for the Alcott project. So we'll be getting that information out, and hopefully some of your listeners will be able to come and join us and help make the fishery as great as it's been.
It sure sounds exciting.
Yes.
So have a good day, guys.
Yes, you too.
Okay, take care.
Thanks for calling in, Joe.
Yes, and our next caller.
Hello, is this for me?
Yes, it is.
Yes.
Good morning. My name is Merle Fredericks. I was on hold. Bill invited me to call this morning to promote our upcoming event.
Yes, Merle, thanks for calling in. What do you got coming up?
Great to hear from you, Bill. Yeah, again, thank you so much for the opportunity just to raise the awareness of our yearly event. We hold a game dinner and seminar, usually a deer hunting seminar, every March, and our next one is going to be Saturday, March 21st, 2020, about a month away, and we hold it in Medina, New York.
Yeah, just a little bit east of here, so hopefully we'll get some listeners coming out. Where do you hold it at, Merle?
We've been holding it for years at the Oak Orchard Assembly of God Church. It's real easy to find. It's at 12111 Ridge Road in Medina, New York. If you just Google Oak Orchard Assembly of God Church, I'm sure you can find it. It's right on Ridge Road. It's in between Route 63 and Route 98 on the north side of the road. Big white church, can't miss it. We'll also have a sign out in front of the church promoting our event that evening as well.
So what can people expect? You know, is there an admission fee, and what goes on?
Yeah, this year our event is a little bit different than what we've done in the past. We've had many, many big-name speakers come in over the years, from Russell Thornberry, Dan Fitzgerald, Hank Parker. We've had a lot of big-name speakers. This year I'm going to be speaking, we're going to have what we're really excited about is we're asking those in the community to bring their trophy deer heads. A lot of people in this neck of the woods have harvested some beautiful bucks. We're going to have Pope and Young and Boone and Crockett and New York State Big Buck scorers on hand. So those that have trophies that would like to have them officially scored, please bring them to the event. And we're going to have them on display for the evening presentation. And we're also providing a meal. The charge is $5 for the meal. And of course, their admission is included with the seminar as well. And then we're going to have also a local DEC officer, Vern Fonda, who's going to do a presentation and also entertain questions and answers from the audience. And then I will be doing a presentation, How to Get Your Name in the Book. We've been doing this for the past 15 years. This will be our 16th, and we're really looking forward to our event.
Well, that all sounds great. Now, you're also the executive director of the Christian Bowhunters of America group, aren't you?
Yeah, that's correct. And that's I wear a couple different hats with Christian Bowhunters of America. I'm the executive director, as you just said. And I'm also chairman of our local chapter in Medina, New York, called the Bowbending Believers. We're always looking for Christian bowhunters that are interested in getting involved with events where we can promote Jesus Christ and the great outdoors. We are always looking for new members to get involved with us and participate in our events and help us sow seeds in Orleans County and the surrounding counties. We've had a chapter again since 2003, and this is just one of our events that we hold during the year. We have a 3D shoot in the fall, and we also have a youth event in the summertime.
Now, if somebody wanted to attend this March 21st event, do they need to purchase tickets in advance, or what should they do? Should they call you?
They can do both, yeah. They can call me at 585-765-2839, and we can reserve tickets for them, or they can probably get tickets at the door this year. The seating capacity is a little over 500. I'm sure we'll have seats available that evening as well.
Well, that all sounds great. Thanks for calling in, Merle. We wish you luck with your event, and do a good job.
Hey, Bill, thank you so much for an opportunity again to promote our event, and you have a great day, brother.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, and we have another caller. Good morning. You're on with Bill Hiltz, Jr.
Good morning, Bill.
Good morning.
With the increased water flow out of Lake Ontario, what's the latest? I mean, is the lake stabilizing or going down, or do they expect flooding again this spring and summer?
Okay, right now the lake level is up about a foot from what it was last year at this time. And they've already made predictions, they being Army Corps of Engineers, anticipating that Lake Ontario will be a foot and a half higher this year than it was last year.
A foot and a half?
A foot and a half.
Even though they're releasing all that water?
Yes. So, you know, once we get into the season, I mean, one of the big factors is the shipping industry. And they won't be able to release as much water because the shipping industry wouldn't be able to drive their ships through the St. Lawrence Seaway safely. So that's probably the biggest factor that needs to be considered. And then when you also factor in the fact that the upper four Great Lakes are all at record high levels, I mean, that water's got to go someplace.
And it's if the water's higher, why would that restrict the boat traffic? I don't understand that.
Well, it's not so much the fact that the water's high. It's the current that's created through the St. Lawrence Seaway. They can't control their ships when too much water is being released. It creates an unsafe situation with that excessive water being released, more current. You know, they it's not like driving an 18-foot boat, you know what I mean?
Right.
The control that's needed on those big vessels, they just don't have it when too much water is being released. And I say too much water, I mean there is a top end. And one of the big concerns there is Montreal and what's downriver as far as the St. Lawrence. They don't want to flood out Montreal. They're also dealing with higher water level situations and also what's coming in from the Ottawa River. So, you know, it's a huge work in progress that they're trying to balance the Lake Ontario water levels with the current going out of the St. Lawrence and what's coming in from the Ottawa, and then engaging what's happening with the upper four Great Lakes. And, you know, some of the high water levels that we've been experiencing in the Niagara River, for instance, you know, the fishing platform has been underwater, and you know, that's just part of learning to deal with what many are calling the new norm, the fact that we have record high water levels in Lake Ontario. That's what the whole Lake Ontario Resiliency and Economic Development Initiative is. You know, they're pumping $330 million into doing things that are going to make sure that they're not just spending this money only to have to re-spend it when it gets destroyed, like what happened in 2017. A lot of the money that was expended in 2017, you know, it's all for naught, because whatever was built is gone now. So they have to deal with the higher levels in Lake Ontario, and that's the effort now, because we don't see this going away. You know, we're going to have to learn to deal with it.
Well, just like they had recently an article in the Buffalo News about, well, I think in 2021, they want to dredge Auckland Harbor and use that fill. They said that'll make the current more, but if the lake is higher, there won't be that much current. It'll backwash.
Yeah, you're probably right there. But, with the higher water levels, you still get sedimentation that's caused from a variety of reasons. You know, the flow coming into the lake or going out of the lake, the wind erosion that you're getting, the additional shoreline sediment that's being pulled into the lake, and they're dredging, I think it's 20 different sites all along the Lake Ontario shoreline to help deal with some of the problems that's been a result of the higher water levels. And then, you know, one thing that you also need to consider, you know, that plan 2014 that was put in place in December of 2016, and a lot of people do blame plan 2014 for the higher water levels. You know, I think it's one of the problems that they've had to deal with. But, you know, when you look at that plan, one of the things that they also called for was lower lows. We still haven't seen those lower lows yet, and if we do get lower lows, it's going to be a huge problem, because now we're building everything up to deal with the high water levels.
Yeah, unless they built the docks, like those sliding ones, but those are very expensive, you know, where they slide along the poles.
Sure, floating dock system. And that's what a lot of marinas have had to go to help deal with these water levels. You know, just like the fact that they're predicting the foot and a half higher this year. You know, if you don't have a floating dock system, you know, that's going to put a lot of people underwater again.
Well, I fished off the Auckland Pier for 30 years, and before 2017, I never seen the water, you know, come up back, cover the pier.
Sure. And you know, that whole Olcott Pier situation, you've got an unsafe situation there, especially for somebody that's not familiar with the area. You know, the East Pier is much lower than the West Pier. So if you get a higher water situation where the East Pier is underwater and a boat starts coming in from the east, they're going to think the West Pier is the East Pier. Now think about what would happen if boats start running into that, you know, with it being, you know, 6 inches underwater or a foot underwater. You know, there's going to be some problems.
Yeah, on East Pier, I've noticed there's like every 5 minutes or so, or unpredictable, there's swells that come up. You know, when the water's only like a foot below the pier, you can have 2 or 3 foot swells come right over the pier. You get soaked, or you could get washed in.
Sure. Sure. Again, unsafe situation. One of the good things that's coming out of the Ready Money is that they are going to be putting an outer break wall off those piers in Olcott to help alleviate some of the surge that's been coming in whenever you get a north or northeast wind. Just pushes that water up into the harbor, and it's been doing a lot of destruction, especially those homes that sit around Olcott Harbor. So, you know, that outer break wall will certainly help.
It's going to be an interesting summer, and we thank you very much, caller, for your call. We'll go on to our next call. Good morning. You're on with Bill Hiltz, Jr.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
I was wondering about the 18-mile creek restoration program, and if they're going to take it all the way down, are they going to take both or those three dams out when they finally get it done? Will it help with the fish coming in from the lake all the way up to maybe, here almost up the Lockport near the waste treatment plant and all that, but how is that going to affect the lake, you know, when they get it done?
Well, I don't think we will see those dams removed. I really don't believe that. It would be a very, very expensive project. We've talked about it. We've talked about trying to put some type of a fish ladder. Now that dam is too high to do something like that. There's an awful lot of considerations, you know, especially behind that dam, the buildup of toxic contaminants behind that dam.
Right.
So, at least in our lifetime, I don't think we're going to see the removal of those dams. And once you get beyond the one at Burt, there are other dams further up,
right.
I think it's just too much of an undertaking. Not like what they're trying to do with the Scobie Dam in Springville, Cattaraugus Creek. There is a dangerous situation there where they needed to do something with the dam, so they're actually cutting the dam in half, and they are building a fish ladder that will open up for steelhead fishermen another 35, 40 miles of stream in the upper Cattaraugus. You wouldn't be able to do that at Olcott or the upper portions of 18-mile creek.
I was watching how they did that on, you know, that show called The Modern Marvels. How they put the fish ladders in, you know, on a lot of those rivers out west and that, and all that. And I was wondering, because when that water comes up, you know, and floods that when it gets into the Wilson Harbor, the Olcott Harbor and all that, will that water come up the 18-mile creek?
Well, you know what we've seen so far is that the water is, like the previous caller said, that there was like a backflow, and I think you do see some of that, especially when you get a north wind or a northeast northwest wind, any northerly wind, but you still have flow going out into the lake. You know, it has to go someplace, and that might. You know, that's been talked about as being a reason maybe the salmon runs haven't been as strong because you're not getting that big push out into the lake. You're not getting that big flow that would trigger those fish to run up in the fall and do their spawning thing. So, you know, a lot of this is new territory. We're not sure what's really going to happen with a lot of these situations, because these are record high levels. You know, last year was a record high level for Lake Ontario, and now they're calling another foot and a half higher. So, you know, we'll just have to wait and see what happens.
So those fish, they come as far as the dam there and spawn and then get washed back out into the lake?
Yes. You know, as far as salmon. Now, what happens is salmon will spawn and then they die. Whereas brown trout and steelhead, they'll run up, spawn, and then swim back out in the lake and continue to live. So you've got a couple different situations there.
I read about the history a lot, but when they were, you know, back in the 1800s and all that, right where St. John's Church is in the tunnel there, before they filled all that land on the long end there, there was a 60-foot waterfall there. And the fish used to come all the way, practically, all the way up almost to there, you know, before they did all the work in the creek and all that. It's pretty interesting story about it. It's on the internet, and they should look it up. It's pretty interesting. It was just a thought.
Yeah.
Thanks, have a good day, gentlemen.
No, appreciate your call. Thanks for calling.
Thanks, Rich. Have a great day. We had a couple callers that were on the line that either the phone company set them off or they got tired of waiting. But anyway, Bill, might be a good time to mention some of the things going on right now.
Well, actually, it's there's a lot of different things going on. I mean, I do an outdoor calendar for the Buffalo News, and this coming weekend is a pretty crazy weekend for events. And one caller that was on the line could have been Paul Jackson. Paul is the president of the Niagara River Anglers Association, and they have their Roger Torrey Memorial Steelhead Contest this Saturday, and it runs from sunrise to 2 p.m., and it's in the lower Niagara River. And also the tributaries on Lake Ontario. You know, it looks like it's going to be a nice weekend, but it is unsure as far as what conditions you're going to encounter. You know, whether the streams will be muddy or whether the lower Niagara River will be muddy, because we're supposed to get some wind again this afternoon. And with a wide open lake up on Lake Erie, when we get any wind, it's been muddying things up. And then that muddy water goes right down the river over the falls and into the lower river, and it just slows things up. Guys from shore can still do pretty good under some turbid conditions, but the boaters, you know, sometimes they struggle when it's too stained. So, you know, we'll just have to wait and see what happens. If you wanted to find out more information about the Niagara River Anglers Contest, you could go to Creek Road Bait and Tackle in Lewiston, or just show up the morning of the event, Saturday morning at sunrise, and they'll take registrations right there at the Lewiston launch ramp. So that's one event going on Saturday. And also,
we have another caller. Maybe this is the caller you're expecting. Let's see. Good morning. You're on with Bill Hills, Jr.
Good morning, Bill.
Morning.
How are we doing today, sir?
Pardon me?
How are we doing today?
I'm good. You're kind of breaking up a little bit.
Okay, I'll make it quick. I can't imagine what's going to happen when they have lake comes up another foot and a half, a north 40-mile-an-hour wind, devastation down there for those people. Somebody needs to react now. All right. Not going to be good.
Thank you, caller. That was short, yeah, but chopped up. He says, I don't know if you understood him, but he said something, the devastation will be unbelievable, what they went through before, if it's going to be another foot and a half. You know.
Well, I really feel for the landowners down there along the lake, and when they implemented Plan 2014, there was no thought for any type of compensation for destruction that was going to be taking place, and places like Sodus Bay out to the east of Rochester there, I think they're already close or underwater in certain areas right now, and if they're a foot and a half higher, that's going to put a lot of businesses right out. So, you know, I don't know what's going to happen. You know, it's like I mentioned before, it's new territory.
Business-wise, it isn't so bad. Most of the businesses are Main Street and above. There are one or two that are down below, but it's, as you said, it's the homeowners that are going to be affected the most.
Yeah, you know, when you do get a bad storm out of the north, that's when it really hits home. And some of these people that live down along the lake, they've lost so much of their shoreline, but they're still paying for it as far as their taxes are concerned. And, you know, if somebody takes the initiative to do something out in the lake and kind of protect their shoreline, if their neighbors don't, then you just get erosion going behind when you hit one of these big storms, and it just makes it all for naught. So, you know, it's crazy what's happening there in the Great Lakes. And I think Lake Erie is starting to see a little bit of that, too, because they're also at a record high level. So, you know, we're encountering a different time right now, and we're just going to have to learn to deal with it.
We'll probably have our visitors from Albany and Washington in there saying we have to do something, and we're going to give you some money, but we just need, as they say, some solid ideas. Something has to be done, you know?
Yeah. Yep, for sure.
And to think back, when they began talking about things being a foot and a half higher, that was statement made last fall that they knew that was going to happen. So.
Yeah. We only got a couple minutes left. I do want to mention that a new law was passed, and it's called Brianna's Law, and it requires everyone to take a boating safety course before they can operate a boat. And that's, it's phased in over 5 years, but no matter what your age, you're going to have to take some type of a boating safety course within 5 years. So it's a good time to find out about the different safety classes that are available through the Coast Guard Auxiliary. And February 29th, there is one coming up at Fort Niagara's Officers Club in Youngstown. And if that doesn't work for you, contact Marty Lawfer, 390-7720, or I'm sorry, 7727, and ask him what their schedules are. I'm sure you could probably go online, but a lot of people don't realize that these boating safety courses are now required. You know, here I am, I'm 63, and I've never taken a safe boating course, but I'm going to be required if I want to operate a boat within 5 years. So just wanted to make everybody aware of that.
Well, thank you, Bill. Thank you for another wonderful show, and we thank all our callers who participated with us. And as we get closer to the summertime, we'll see what happens with the big O, Lake Ontario. Take care, Bill.
Thank you, Ron.